Let us turn again to the Epistle to Titus, chapter 3 and verse 5. Titus 3 and at verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And what we have here is the matter of salvation. The matter of salvation, the deliverance of a sinner from eternal death, from sin, and being set in the way towards heaven. And what we were trying to consider already today is the work that people, or works that people think that they can do. Can these works save them? And the answer is no. And yet, we try to emphasize that people should be seeking to be in the way. I used the example of Abram's servant that was seeking something else, seeking a wife for his master's son, and he prayed that he would be directed. He was in the way, he said. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Now it's not that he was earning help from God, but you see, he was to be in the way. He was to follow the path that perhaps his master indicated to him before he sent out. Perhaps he was well enough aware that that was the people, that was the way that people took if they were to reach Paddan Aram, where his master's family members lived. But it provides us with an illustration, perhaps not a perfect illustration, but a suitable illustration for all that, that those who seek salvation, and that's God's command. Let us never forget that there are commands in the Word of God that relate to salvation. Commands. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. There are commands, and we should seek to be in the way of these commands. Yes. And at times, when the Lord would save a sinner, he calls those who are out of the way. They're outside the narrow way, that's sure. But they're even out of the way of obedience to his outward commands. They're not seeking the Lord. And yet the Lord in his sovereign mercy may find them and draw them by his grace. But you see, I'm talking about our duty. Our duty is to be in the way of listening to the word of God, the preached word, the way of reading the scriptures, the way of calling upon the Lord at the throne of grace, the way of meditating on the scriptures, and so on. And many a one has to say, I being in the way, the Lord led me. It's not that that person would say, I deserve to be saved because I was in the way. It's not because they deserve it. They didn't earn it. Everything they did was stained with sin. Yes. But it's those who are in the way. The way of outward obedience to the will of God in the means of grace. They, more often, will be saved. Not, as I say, because they are earning salvation. They are not. You see, everything we do in our unconverted state is adding guilt to guilt. Even these things that are done by way of duty, these things that are done in the way, so to speak, as Abram's servant spoke. Yes. But we must come away from what we were considering under the first head. We must come away from it with this in our minds, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. These works, described here as works of righteousness, they're not to be spoken of as if that was perfect righteousness. But it's the appearance that they have. They're according to the outwardness of the commandments. Yes. We can say it's purely outward obedience. The heart is not in these things. And if we go back to Saul of Tarsus, and all he was doing, you see, it wasn't being done out of love to God. He wasn't loving God, with, as he was to say himself, with all, or as the Savior said, I should say, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Yes. And we're never going to achieve that standard of obedience. Never. But what about the saints in heaven? They've been made perfectly holy. The Holy Spirit has been at work in their souls. And the Holy Spirit has finished his work in their souls so that they do in heaven love God with all their heart and soul and mind and strength and their neighbor as themselves. Yes. But what we're to go on to now is to consider the means of salvation that God uses. And that's what we have in the second part of the verse. Salvation is according to God's mercy. According to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The washing, which is involved in regeneration, and the renewing that the Holy Ghost works in a soul so that there's a new creature, there's a new heart and a right spirit. All things are made new. Oh, should we not be deciding that? Should we not be seeking it earnestly? Should we not be calling upon the Lord to do these works of grace in our souls and in the souls of others? God's means of salvation, then. These effective means of salvation. Effective means. Because they are divine means. And his divine power, his saving work, has been carried out along these lines. Now, If we think of verse 5 in Ephesians 2, Paul speaks of a time when we were dead in sins. Dead in sins. No Holy Spirit, no work of the Holy Spirit going on in the soul. Though we mustn't discount what we call restraining grace. Now, that's not salvation. That's not part of salvation. It's the work of the Lord in restraining sin. What a terrible world it would be if there was no restraint put on sin. If people were allowed to be so under the power of the devil that they would just go on sinning to their heart's desire and to the devil's desire. And what a world that would be. What a hell that would be. And I'm trying to use the word carefully. Let us be serious about avoiding the use of the word unless it is necessary. Unless we are referring to the place of eternal punishment for those who have left the world as unbelievers. Yes. What a terrible place. Well, let us be thankful for restraining grace. But what I was really speaking about is the saving work of the Holy Spirit. And even when we were dead in sins, Paul says, even when we had no spiritual life, even when we were going on in the ways of sin, and no human restraint on us. Well, that's not always the case. There is sometimes human restraint that is effective. And there is, in one degree or another, a restraint exercised by God himself, so that even that criminal, however far he might go in sin, he doesn't go further. He doesn't go further. However far gone in sin he might be, still, they could be much worse. And that's mercy. A mercy for others, a mercy for himself. Not saving mercy, but a mercy for all that. But you see what Paul is saying. When we were in a spiritually dead situation, the Lord met with us. The Lord met with me, he could say. He has quickened us. Even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ. And quickened just means made alive or made more alive. When we were dead in sins, when we had no spiritual life, God so worked in our hearts that we became alive, that we began to believe their spiritual life. There would be no faith apart from the Holy Spirit making the sinner alive. There would be no repentance. There would be nothing done to the glory of God, however imperfect. But you see, that's the state of the sinner who is spiritually dead. There's nothing done to the glory of God. There's no exercise of spiritual life. That's it. When we were dead in sins. And because of them being dead in sins, to go back to this morning's point, they couldn't work. They couldn't do good works. They couldn't do what were genuinely works of righteousness. They could do nothing that would please God. They were on the way, in the ways of sin, straying from God. That was the thing. Straying from God. But no works of righteousness. Yes. And what we need to emphasize here and emphasize to ourselves is this, that if we're going to do anything that is pleasing to God, and if we are to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we need spiritual life. And spiritual life is given in God's mercy. Yes, all of mercy, or all of grace, as it is in this epistle. But there's differences of emphasis between mercy and grace. But they're both pointing in the same direction. Yes. We need mercy. We need God to act towards us in mercy. We need God to act towards us in grace. And let us be asking for that. You see, the throne of grace is open to sinners. We wouldn't be allowed just to barge into wherever the king is staying at any given moment to ask a request. We wouldn't be able to barge into the prime minister's office and ask that particular things would be done that would be advantageous to us. But we are to come in the name of Christ to the throne of grace. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Let us use our freedom. Let us use our invitation. That's another circumstance. Someone would have a pass to get into an important person's office or wherever. We are to come boldly to the throne of grace in the name of Christ. Well, you can think of various people who came into the Savior's presence in this world and been speaking about the blind man who came saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus never said to any of them, what right have you to come where I am? That might have been the spirit of the people who were trying to chase the blind man away. But it wasn't Christ's spirit. Yes. He is full of grace. He is very merciful. And we are to take that up. You see, the king of Israel, when he was on the losing side, the king of Syria, when he came into the presence of the king of Israel, and this was how he reasoned to himself, they're merciful men. That was on the human level. They were so influenced by the ideas of the Bible that they still had some mercy. They were still showing some mercy. However ungodly they were, however they were sinning in so much that they did, yet there was something of this about them. They were merciful. That's the reputation that they had. Well, we should be thinking of the reputation of Christ as shown to us in the scriptures. He is full of mercy. And we are to make mention of the Savior as we come to the throne of grace. We are to make mention of his mercy, the greatness of his mercy. And we are to come. You see, We need regeneration. That's true. It's true of all that is set before us about the way of salvation. That by grace are ye saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Yes. We're to, I felt like saying, take advantage of the mercy that is revealed in connection with God, with Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit. Take advantage of it. We can use that in a very negative way. Somebody taking advantage of some vulnerable person, for instance. But you can put that shade of meaning out of your minds. But, you see, it's a case of this, that God, that Christ, has been given a reputation in Scripture for being merciful. And we should be taking that in. God is merciful. Therefore, we should come and come boldly to the throne of grace. We should come boldly, not allow anything to keep us away. We should be saying to ourselves, Christ is calling me. Should we not? When we need salvation, we should be saying, Christ is calling me. Somebody turned away at the door of Buckingham Palace or whatever other residence of the king. And he's been turned away by whoever is guarding the door, turned away by security or police or whoever. But he might put his hand in his pocket and bring out a bit of paper, perhaps safely kept in its envelope. And he takes it out. He shows it. It's his invitation to see the king. Well, we have an invitation to come to King Jesus. What's the invitation? Well, for instance, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, believing is a coming to Christ. Believing in Christ is a coming to Christ. Here's the invitation. Turn up Acts 16:31 and point to the verse. And it's you that needs it more than the angels which are about the throne. Anyone we could imagine as doorkeepers to the presence of Christ. But you see, come unto me. That's said according to the mercy of the King. That's the invitation. Invitation to sinners. That they might take advantage of the opportunity that they have. That they might take advantage of the invitation. Here it is. Take it in your hand. Take it and say, Thou hast said. Yes. What a great matter that is. We have this invitation. It's here. In your Bible. You have only to turn it up, but only to pull it out of your memory, so to speak. That's the invitation from the one that is altogether merciful. And if you want further encouragement, then go to this in the Song of Solomon, draw me, we will run after thee. Oh, you feel so dead spiritually, you feel you cannot go to Christ. Go to the invitation and see the Church of God, that's who's set down as saying, draw me. You see the Church of God saying to Christ, draw me. I am so weak, I am so dead. And you really may feel forced to say, I am spiritually dead. I was never alive. Quicken me. Make me alive. Yes. Oh, go boldly to the throne of grace, saying, Christ has done so much, and Christ has said so much, so that sinners would come. Take advantage of the kindness and the forcefulness of the invitation. You're not left to this. You can come if you feel like it. Well, you'll never feel like it if you're left to yourselves. You'll never feel like it. You need the drawing power of the Holy Spirit, and that's what we have here. What goes along with it anyway, or goes before it. This regeneration. Regeneration. And it's a renewing, cleansing work, if we put all the things together here. It's the washing of regeneration. It's the renewing. And it's the renewing carried out by the Holy Spirit, making the hard heart a soft heart, a renewed heart. The hard heart that resists so naturally the work of the Holy Spirit. Yes, making the hard heart a soft heart. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And when we are not saved by any works of righteousness that we have done, oh, how we should be thankful of this being set before us, the work of the Holy Spirit. Yes. The work of the Holy Spirit set before us. And I'm going to turn to Ezekiel 36, where there is quite a passage of the work of the Holy Spirit. And in the first instance, this refers to the situation of the Israelites in Babylon. And what would the Lord do? He would come in mercy to them. That seems to have been a generation in which there was a great work of the Holy Spirit in renewing the souls of the Jews. Yes, well, he speaks about this. I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you and ye shall be clean. I will sprinkle clean water. Yes, the Holy Spirit being given as cleaning water. But we need to be cleansed from all our filthiness, to be made clean from all our filthiness from all our idols, as that was promised to that generation in particular of the Israelites, or the Jews in fact. Yes. I will do it. Let us keep hold of that statement. I will do it. The great Jehovah. Jehovah the Son, who was to come into the world to save sinners. Jehovah the Son was to do the work. And it's Jehovah the Son that is the Savior of sinners. And he will sprinkle clean water. And that is to be linked up with the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Yes. The work of God, the Holy Spirit, in the souls of sinners. His cleansing power. However filthy the heart might be, however filthy the sinner might be, however far gone in sins, the Holy Spirit is able to cleanse in connection with the Word of God, in connection with faith and the truth as that is revealed, in connection with these things. the gracious power of the Holy Spirit cleansing a filthy heart. The kind of heart that every one of us has by nature. Ah, you might say it's not as bad as all that, surely. Ah, yes, it is. We might not see it. All the more reason to be made alive. All the more reason for the awakening, enlivening power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, a new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. Renewing, making new by virtue of the soul being made alive. That's it. That's what we need. That's what you need. And that's what the Lord's people need more of. Yes. They should be asking for that. The renewing power of the Holy Spirit over again. It's not that people are going to relapse into a state of spiritual deadness. And if the Lord's people are complaining about their deadness, it's relative, not absolute. They're not absolutely dead. But they're not alive to the extent that they want to be alive. They want to feel grace and exercise in their souls by the Holy Spirit. Let us go back to that. Let us go back to God. Let us go back to the Holy Spirit who laid the foundation for the salvation of sinners when he offered himself without spot to God. When he offered himself. When he made a sacrifice of himself so that sinners might be saved. Yes. According to his mercy, he saved us. This renewing work then, as the Lord was expounding that to Ezekiel, and Ezekiel passing on that message to the people that he was to speak to prophesy to, I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. The stony heart. Put your finger on a stone, and it's not going to make any impression. Put your finger, put your thumb on your flesh, and normally it will move. It will be pressed in. You see? A heart of stone, the word of God makes no impression on it, apart from the Holy Spirit giving new life. The heart of flesh is impressed by the Holy Spirit applying the truth. What a difference. Oh, that's an aspect, a large aspect of the work of salvation that we are seeing here and trying to follow through these illustrations that the Lord was using to the Jews of old. I will give you, it's mercy you see, it's free. I will give you a heart of flesh and I will put my spirit within you. Yes? To give life, to apply the word. To bring a new heart into exercise. A heart that would want to go to the throne of grace. A heart that would want to learn more and more from the truth as applied by the Holy Spirit. Oh, what a blessing. You might speak about the blessing of salvation. But here's a blessing. That the Holy Spirit will come and dwell. The Holy Spirit will come and never go away again from the heart that has been renewed, from the sinner that has been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to work and to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments, my commandments, and do them. Why is there someone somewhere, just speaking generally, and that person was in the past resisting God's word, resisting God's commandments, resisting the examples of other godly people around him? Why was that sinner a dead sinner? Why was that sinner resisting the gospel and resisting the commandments? Yes, resisting the call of the gospel. Why? Because of spiritual death, because of an absence of life. And then there's a change. There's regeneration. There's the coming of the Holy Spirit to put life in the heart of the sinner. Yes, there's been a change. Isn't that a blessing? There's been a change. What a blessing. Ye shall keep my judgments and do them. You see, do them from the heart. Do them because of a renewed heart, a new heart, a right spirit. It's all the work of grace. It's all mercy, you see, God's mercy. The mercy of the Father, the mercy of the Son, the mercy of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're at just now, the mercy of the Holy Spirit. And putting spiritual life into the heart of a sinner. And drawing that sinner by his grace. The grace of the Spirit. Yes. Impressing that sinner's soul that is now alive. Impressing it with God's grace. Making that sinner willing and able to follow Christ. Yes, but let us emphasize this, as the Savior emphasized it. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless someone is regenerated, he cannot get into the kingdom of God. I don't just mean the part of that kingdom that is in heaven above. For we need to be in the kingdom below. The kingdom of grace, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. We need to be in it before we leave this world. And certainly, the thief on the cross, when all this was done, when the Holy Spirit came to work in that man's soul, and when he was asking, just inside the borders of the kingdom of grace, no doubt, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Yes. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The man was seeing something of that. Yes. And his prayer was heard. That was the assurance he was given. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Yes. Ah, the change that made in that man's soul, the work of the Holy Spirit, what a change it made in that man's soul. He had a new heart leaving this world. It wasn't new for long, but still, that's God's sovereign work, to meet with sinners at various different times in their lives. You see, John the Baptist, he brought into the kingdom when he was very, very young, in the womb. Yes. And this man might have been particularly old, I assume he wasn't, but there was very little of his life left to run. And he obtained mercy. So he wouldn't imagine that his works of righteousness would earn him salvation. Probably he had no works that anybody would recognize as works of righteousness. But he was saved. It was by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, as that takes place, in the hearts of everyone that is saved. They are drawn by Almighty power. Yes. But you see, unless someone is born again, they cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The thief on the cross, the one thief on the cross, was born again. And except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. You see, water pointing to cleanse. And the Spirit is mentioned. And that cleansing is the work of the Spirit. Oh, how thankful that we should be for the work of the Spirit. Yes, particularly to ourselves if we have been born again. But that regeneration can take place in any point in our lives. Now, not to make that an excuse and say, I would like to go on in the ways of sin as long as I dare. The Lord can come and save me at any time. There's no need to rush. There's no need to rush into the kingdom of heaven. Ah, well, that might not be the way to put it, but there's every reason to rush towards Christ. You see, I don't know about the prodigal son, the speed with which he ran to Christ. But you see, I know this, the Father, whom I take to be Christ, is represented in the parable. The Father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The Father ran and fell on his neck. Yes. But you see, with whatever speed a sinner comes to Christ, what makes it fast? It's the Father's drawing. It's the drawing of the Father. That's what gives speed to the legs of his soul. Yes. But you see the readiness of Christ to bring the sinner to himself. The readiness of the Spirit to go to any son, any sinner, whom it is the purpose of God to save, his own purpose to save. And that sinner, it may be, has been left for many a year to go on in sin. And then there comes a point in time, and that sinner is to be saved. He's not to be left any longer to the hardness of his own heart. He's to be given a new heart. He's to be given a right spirit. Yes, then let him come. Let him come quickly. Let him come at once. Let him come with boldness to Christ. Yes, he may not feel the drawing power of the Holy Spirit, but he will look back, and in particular he will look back from eternity and see the great work that the Savior has done to bring him to eternal glory when the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. Yes. And we should be taking up the petitions that are in Psalm 51. Do thou with hyssop sprinkle me. I shall be cleansed so. May the blood of the great sacrifice be sprinkled upon my soul. And may the blood of Jesus Christ, as applied by the Holy Spirit, may it cleanse me, not only from the guilt of sin, but from the power of sin, making me a new creature in Christ Jesus. Yes. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us take that petition now. There's so many blessed petitions. Then why are they in Scripture? Why was space taken up in God's Word? This is why, that we might use them, that we might see them as altogether suited to us in our situation, and especially just now, in our situation of needing the Holy Spirit to work in our souls, to purify our hearts, yes, to put life, yes, where there's life, there will be some sound apart from some disability as far as speech is concerned. But normally, you see, the sinner will not be able to keep quiet. I mean particularly quiet before God. He will have to pray. There's a necessity laid upon the sinner to pray, God be merciful to me, a sinner, or whatever the words of Scripture are, its own words. Save me. Save me, O Lord, because the floods do so invite in me. Save me, O Lord, because the floods of guilt and of foolishness, of sin, they're going over my head. I cannot get to the surface. I'm sinking in deep mire, where there is no standing. Yes, what need for the urgent work of the Holy Spirit? What great need to be crying out before God, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Yes, and there's this in connection with being born again. The Savior's words, having said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, the cleansing power of water, providing an illustration of the cleansing power of the Holy Spirit, putting new life into the soul. And then there's this finally in that set of three pieces of counsel to Nicodemus, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Do not wonder, do not marvel that I've been saying this, that I've been emphasizing this. And do not marvel that preachers throughout the ages have been taking up the Savior's words and saying to sinners, you must be born again. Yes. I leave that with you. The Lord has put it in his word. The Lord is still speaking through these words. Take them before the Lord this evening. Take them before the Lord as you sit in your pew as yet. Yes. Oh, go before the Lord with them and say, you need a Savior. You need the working of the Holy Spirit. You need the dawning power of divine grace to bring you out of Satan's kingdom into God's marvelous light. Yes, do not wonder, but bring it before the Lord in prayer and ask that these words we have been considering and the various petitions that have been quoted, and this one I leave with you just now, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy on us, Lord. Teach us to pray. May we be asking for the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, so that we would have new hearts, and that we would be brought to come to thee, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. May we be fleeing from our own works, and may we be coming to thee, that we might obtain mercy. All the aspects of that mercy that are set before us in thy word. Do not leave us to ourselves. Go before us and help us, and wash away our sin. For Jesus' sake, amen.